Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Anybody here madly in love with Jesus? Let's try that again. Anybody here just madly in love with Jesus? We remain standing as we get into the Word. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse 1. And we're just going to kind of skip around a little bit. And as you're turning there, 1 Samuel 16, I just want to say thank you to every one of these who have preached and prophesied. You know, we know that we come here to serve and we come here to give out and to preach and to minister, but I got so ministered to. I just want to let you guys know, every single one of you that ministered, all you prophets and pastors in the front row, thank you for ministering to me. I feel refreshed and rejuvenated, exhausted, but refreshed. And it's so fun a lot of times being a pastor and getting to sit under people's ministries. Because a lot of times what will happen for me is I'll have my notes open and God will just start speaking to me. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's frustrating because they got really good points and the Holy Spirit's downloading on me the same time that they're preaching. And man, it's powerful. This environment, the environment of the prophetic, the environment. And I truly believe that there's even more miracles that God's going to do tonight. There's freedom in this place tonight. There's refreshing in this place tonight. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Well, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" You know, I just want to stop there for a moment because I felt like some of you have been held back from stepping into the fullness of what God has called you to because you've allowed seasons of mourning to move into your destiny and your purpose, and it's time. Some of you got to let some things go. You've been mourning for too long. Now listen, friends, I understand that sorrow may come for the night, but joy comes in the morning, that God wants to bring you into a season of joy. For those who maybe you feel like, "Pastor, I've been mourning for 2 years, 3 years," joy. This is a season of joy in the name of Jesus. The Lord says, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse's of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Go down to verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at.'" How many of you guys know that's a good thing? People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Go down to verse 13, and this is where we're going to end. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Father, we pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with your glory. But Lord, you are here right now. You're doing a work. You're freeing people. You're healing people. Lord, there's such an incredible, tangible presence in this place, your glory and your power. And so, Lord, we just say more. Come and do whatever you want to do, Lord. This is your service. This is your house. Come and be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Minister Daniel. The title of my message tonight, stay close, by the way. The title of my message tonight is "The Horn of Oil." Someone say, "The Horn of Oil." It's imperative for us to understand tonight that the anointing, every time we hear that word anointing, it is defined as the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to move and work in our lives. Friends, you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through you. But what's so powerful tonight is that there is a direct correlation between the horn of oil being used as a vessel of the anointing and how God wants to use you as a vessel for his anointing, for his spirit. The prophetic process of preparing the horn to be ready for the anointing oil is similar to the process and the development David had to go through. It's incredible, this prophetic parallel, that when Samuel came to anoint David with this horn of oil, there were so many parallels that exist in the process that it took to get this horn ready to carry the anointing oil is the same process David would have to go through in order to carry the anointing. Can I tell you, there's going to be a process that you're going to have to go through in order to carry the anointing that God has for you. Realize that there was over 15 years, even that moment where Samuel came and he poured out that oil upon the man of God. As he poured out that oil on David, it's interesting, there was close to over 15 years between that time that David was anointed and the time he became king. That's a lot of years. That's a lot of going back to the sheep and guarding the sheep. It's a lot of going to give brothers bread and cheese. That's a lot of time and space. And a lot of times we get frustrated and discouraged because we don't realize the power of time. We think time is an inconvenience. We get frustrated with time. But can I tell you, the power of time is that it brings you to a place of process where you begin to get into the process of transformation and change because God wants to get you ready to be a vessel for the anointing. He wants to get you ready. Some of you may be going through the preparation for the promise. You feel like you're in it right now. But I believe you're stepping into a season of fulfillment. I just want to prophesy this. You're stepping into a season of fulfillment and promise, destiny, and purpose. Don't get discouraged. As a matter of fact, I felt this so strong in my spirit, even as we were praying backstage, I felt like there are a lot of people here tonight that have really been battling a spirit of discouragement. If that's you, I'm going to do this in Prophet Tom Hammond fashion. If that's you, you're facing discouragement right now, I want you to lift your hands. Come on, you're facing a spirit of discouragement. It's like the devil's just been pounding on you, been trying to come against your confidence. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, I break off every spirit of discouragement in this place. Some of those who are here that have been going through the process, they can't see, Lord God, they can't see their purpose. They feel like they're walking through a cloud. I pray, God, give them vision. Lord, let them see the promise. Change their perspective right now. I break off every lie of the enemy that's trying to come against them. I pray now a spirit of might and a spirit of encouragement to come upon them in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. The profound imagery and symbolism we see of the horn of oil is first found in Genesis chapter 22. I want you guys to look at this. This is powerful. Because you say, well, Pastor, what's up with this horn? Isn't this one of those horns that you just, a shofar that you blow in it? It's more than that. The symbolism is so rich. It's so profound. And I want you to see this imagery that we see in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, 13, Abraham looked up. This is when Abraham took Isaac and laid him on the altar, and an angel of the Lord stopped him and said, don't lay a hand upon your son. I have provided for you. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took a ram and sacrificed it and burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. From that point on, I want you to hear this. From that point on, in the tradition of Israel, the ram's horn always signified God's provision, God's promises, God's grace, and God's deliverance. So I know a lot of you love blowing the shofar. And I don't even know if it's allowed or not in this church. Maybe only in Pastor Daniel's office. But this ram's horn, it represents the promises of God, the provision of God, the grace and the power of God. Friends, can I tell you, there's a grace that is sufficient for you, that God is going to help you in this season, that God is true to his promises. He hasn't rejected you. Some of you feel like God's rejected me. There's no possible way. Can I tell you, God wants to restore his promise in your life, and this is the season for it. The reason you find yourself here at the Power Conference is God wants to speak a word over you. You've had so many people speaking over death over you, speaking all discouragement over you, but this is a season where God says, I want to speak promise. I want to speak life over you. It's time to get in your spirit. Can I get an amen? From that point on, it represented provision, promises, grace, and deliverance. Can I tell you something? If you have the anointing, just like what Pastor Brian said, I love when he said this. If you have the anointing, you have everything you need. Man, if I just had more money, then I could get it done. If I just had more people, I understand that. That's wonderful. More money is great. More people is great. But can I tell you, if you have the anointing, you have everything you need. If you have the anointing, you have more than what you need. Because his grace is sufficient. He is a God of more than enough. The anointing, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need to put the emphasis of our lives, what we're searching after, what we're going after, we got to put it toward the Holy Ghost and more of his presence. So we see that the horn represents promise and provision. We see that the horn represents strength, power, and authority. We know this. You live in Alaska, and so you've probably seen a lot of rams clash horns, and rams would clash horns in a fight to establish dominance or ward off attackers. I love this passage in Psalms 92:10. It says this, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. The significance of this passage is the horn is often seen as a symbol of strength, power, and authority. That is the anointing. When you have the anointing, there's a power that comes on your life. There's a strength upon your life. That's even why Paul says, in my weakness, I am made strong by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, listen, I'm all about B12, but I need some Holy Ghost. And there's an authority on your life. Using a horn for the anointing conveys the idea of seeing strength and authority and divine empowerment. When Samuel took that horn of oil and poured it upon David, it was a symbol of authority and power and supernatural strength that God would release upon David. But the other symbolism that we see with the horn is that it also represented resilience. Why a horn? Have you ever thought about that? And I asked myself this question. Like, why in the world did Samuel fill a horn? And we understand the reason he filled the horn with oil is already some very significant imageries and symbolisms. But one of the reasons why, practically, one of the reasons why he filled a horn is because of its resilience. See, if he would have taken a bag of oil, he had to walk all the way to Bethlehem. It wasn't just this easy path. He had to walk through some rocks. Anybody here ever been to the Middle East, or you've been to Israel? It's pretty rough terrain. And if he had a bag, that bag could easily be punctured. Or if he had a jar, the jar could easily be cracked. What's so powerful about the ram's horn is actually its resilience and its strength. Meaning this, it wasn't easily cracked or shattered. Can I tell you, we have to be tough. This is a call to you in this season. No more pansy Christians. Come on, we got to get our grit back. A lot of us want the anointing, but we're a bunch of bags, easily punctured. They offended me. They hurt my feelings. Pastor Daniel didn't say hi to me. I'm so punctured. I'm wounded. You're a bag. Or we get cracked easy. You know what I'm saying? We're so hard-hearted too. And so it's easy for us to get cracked and get frustrated about things and just lose it. But the reason why he took the ram's horn practically is because you can bang this thing up against rocks and nothing won't happen to it. It might even smash the rock. It doesn't puncture. It doesn't crack easy. And so it was a vessel that could hold the anointing and that the anointing wouldn't leak out or drip. That is one thing I've seen a lot within the churches. We got a lot of leaky Christians. Because there's a lot of things in our life that are coming up against us. Look, can I tell you, we have to go through a lot of terrain within Christianity. There's a lot of things we got to face. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of daggers. Come on, somebody. Some of you are looking at the person next to you going, There's daggers, there's problems, but when you're a ram's horn, when you're resilient, when you're strong, when you got some grit, you can have people around you trying to stab you, hurt you, destroy you, but it's not going to make you crack. It's not going to puncture you. You're going to hold on to the anointing. You're going to hold on to the power of God. It's not circumstantial where I got it one day because the environment's great. Oh man, I'm so anointed today. Minister Daniel led worship for 5 hours, and now I finally feel, oh, it's so good, and we're anointed in the right environment. That's called a bag, Christian. It takes an environment to be anointed. You know, one thing I realize is Jesus did incredible miracles in some of the craziest environments. Did you ever realize that? Like, Jesus, I don't know if Peter played the piano, but we never hear about 30 minutes of worship happening before Jesus did miracles. Like I went to some of the places where Jesus preached and laid hands on people and prayed for people, and there were profound miracles, and it was rugged. It was not the right environment, and yet Jesus could operate in the anointing no matter what environment surrounded him. Why? Because he was tough, he was strong, he was resilient. And this is what's interesting, is that it speaks and it suggests of the lasting impact that we have. Hey friends, if we're not careful, we can allow situations, we can allow people to stop us, to hinder us, to crack us, to pierce us. And we lose out on the lasting impact that God wants to do through you. Because you lack the resilience to push beyond every situation. Can you imagine if the church becomes like a ram's horn? Not easily offended. Not easily scared. But can you imagine just for a moment what it would look like if we could keep our resilience? We'd be a powerful church. We'd be a church that people wouldn't want to mess with because they can't push us back and they can't keep us down. And they can't break us. We become impenetrable. But what's difficult about this horn of oil and the symbolism of this horn, is this horn is super solid and it's impenetrable, but there's an issue with it, is when you take this horn off of the ram, this horn has fibers in it, and it's filled with a bunch of things. It's got stuff in it. And in order for this horn to be used, it has to go through a cleaning process. There's a cleansing that God wants to do in the church. There's a cleansing that God wants to do in your life. And a lot of people want the anointing, but they want it within the circumstances of their life to say, you know what, Lord, I want it on my condition and on my terms. I want the anointing on my terms. Lord, don't touch the girlfriend thing. Lord, don't touch this thing. And I just let me have the anointing the way that I am. Don't mess with me, Jesus. Don't put your finger on stuff. I just want to be comfortable. I don't like the confrontation of the Word of God. I don't like the confrontation of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we have to realize, is that the Word of God is perfect and the Holy Spirit is perfect. So when His presence shows up, it will always reveal things out of alignment in our life, because His Word and His presence are a plumb line, and a plumb line will always reveal what's out of alignment. Now, I believe that the Word should encourage, but can I tell you, there are going to be moments in your life when you get into the Word and you're going to be tempted to skip the page because you're reading something that puts its finger on something in your life that ain't right. So if the horn is going to be used to be a carrier of the oil, what begins to happen is it's got to be cleansed. Now, this is what they did. In order to cleanse it, they had to soak it first. And it would soak for days because the fibers there were connected in it, and it had to be detached. And they would get that horn and they would soak the horn. Represents a softening of your heart. Being saturated in God's presence, being saturated in His Word. Friends, if we're going to be cleansed, look, I'm all about, look. I know a lot of times we have a tendency to preach behavior modification. But what we desperately need as a church is presence transformation. Word transformation. That what happens is when you get into the Word of God and you get into His presence and you soak, not one of those things where you're like, Pastor Daniel, we've been worshiping for 59 minutes. Like, done already. No. This is your opportunity to soak a little bit. Why? There may be some things that need to be softened, some things that need to be cleansed, some things that need to be purged in your life. If this horn was to be used for the anointing, it required soaking. If you're going to be used for the anointing, you got to soak in the Word of God. You got to soak in His presence. You got to soak in times of prayer. Some of you just need to turn on the Bible and let it speak to you. Some of you just need to turn on some worship and just let it, just engage with it. Well, Pastor, Minister Daniel's not here. What am I to do? Get in God's presence. Don't worry about a piano player. Don't worry about it. You just talk with God. Spend time with Him. Soak. It's necessary. Can I tell you that soaking time penetrates the hard areas of your life? Every time I get in God's presence, I can go into God's presence offended, hurt, wounded, but I come out healed. I come out with a different perspective. Friends, we need some people in the church that are willing to take some time to soak and spend time with God. What's unique about the cleansing is once they would pull this out of the water, now they had to start digging. Not only required soaking, it required an emptying out. And they would take tools and they would begin to dig in this horn, and they had to dig deep. And they would dig, and it would take hours upon hours. It wasn't just this tiny little thing. It was arduous. It was difficult. And they had to meticulously and painstakingly remove all the contents that were in the horn, cleaning out this horn. God's getting ready to carry. He's getting you ready to carry the anointing, and He's trying to clean some things out of your life. You say, well, Pastor, why is it such a problem? Because He wants you free from all contaminants. See, Samuel understood something. That if there was any residue or any remnants left in this horn, that it would contaminate the precious oil that needed to go inside. I feel like sometimes we live our Christian life trying to figure out what can remain inside and us still be Christians. What can I keep in my life and still be used by God? And there's a digging. What's unique about this is that God wants to give you a greater measure. But a greater measure requires a deeper digging. If you want a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, it requires a deeper digging because you have to make room in your life. So God starts going into all the nooks and crannies of our life and starts pointing out things that are in the darkness and things that have been hidden. And even at times, there are moments in my life where I'm crying out, God, I want a greater anointing. And He's like, let me talk to you about something in your life from 10 years ago that you haven't forgiven or that you haven't gotten rid of yet or you're still holding on to. Let me ask you, would you rather hold on to that contaminant or that fiber or that issue that takes up space in your time, takes up space in your mind, takes up space in your life, or would you rather have more anointing, more of His presence? Would you rather surrender more? A greater measure, we want to be filled with the Spirit, but we keep our lives filled with other things. Samuel knew that he needed to clean this thing out fully. He had to purge it. It had to go through a season of soaking, and it had to go through a season of purging and cleaning, and it had to be completely and totally cleaned out because he needed to put a greater measure of oil in it. Your willingness to go through a season of cleansing will actually determine the amount of anointing you're able to carry. The amount of oil that you're able to carry. To me, one of the greatest significance of the horn, and it's so powerful because in order for this horn to be used, of course, this is practical. And it almost feels like it's been the theme of this conference. Something had to die. The crazy thing about a ram's horn is a ram can't stay alive and you use its horn. In order for the horn to be used for the anointing, something had to die. If you want to be used by God, you've got to go through a death to the flesh. You've got to be dead to the flesh and alive to the Spirit. We want the anointing, but we don't want to die to the flesh. We want more. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. But keep me alive. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. The anointing comes from a place of sacrifice. I'm going to say that one more time. The anointing comes from a place of sacrifice. That's why Galatians 2:20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. In the life I now live unto God, I live. The life I now live in the flesh, I live unto God. I have crucified my flesh so that I can be a carrier of the oil. Even more so, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, this is the problem, that when you still live in the flesh, there's a mix-up with anointing and what's you and what's God. Because as long as your flesh still lives, it will contend against spirit. The flesh will always try and get the glory. Oh man, I saw this miracle because the gifts are without repentance. And man, I did this thing and I did that thing. And all of a sudden the flesh begins to rise and it contends against the anointing. So it says this: we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. If you want a greater anointing, if you want the work of the Spirit in your life, the flesh has got to die. The desires of the flesh, the sinful nature. I'm not talking about your epidermis. I'm talking about your sinful nature, that thing in you that wants, that contends against the will and the purpose of the Spirit, that wants lust, that desires certain things. God says, look, it's time to put those things to death. In order for this horn to be used, something had to die. If you want to be used by God in a mighty way in this season, can I tell you, some of you, your dreams may have to die. Well, but what about my dream? That's your dream, not God's dream. I love what Pastor Jordan said. He kept going after him like, dude, stop preaching my sermon. So many aspects of our life, our identity, our pride, even our desires. We have desires that are contrary to the desire and the will and the purpose of God for our life. Are we willing to put to death things in our life that contend against the promises of God and the will and the purpose of God in order for you to be a carrier of the anointing, the flesh? The sinful nature has to die. Everybody say the horn. Everybody say, I want to be a horn. What we also see is the oil. There's a specific oil. I don't know where my oil went. on the other side of the bucket. Thank you, front row. If we want the anointing, we have to realize there's a specific oil. The oil inside the horn is typically consecrated and considered holy. It's not just talent. It's not just giftings. Anointing with this oil signifies a setting apart of an individual for a specific sacred purpose, such as kingship or priesthood. The anointing of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, it sets you apart. The Holy Spirit, His anointing, sets you apart for a work and a purpose. That's what the anointing represented. When Samuel took that horn of oil and put that oil on his head, it was a setting apart for a specific purpose and a work. That's the oil. But in order for that oil to work, that specific type of oil, this particular oil would be the oil that they would use for lamps. It was an oil that was pressed. And a certain type of press for this specific oil, and it would do multiple things. It was the oil that they would use for lamps. Even in the temple, it was the oil that they would use for lighting the temple. It was healing ointment. They would use this oil to see people healed, and they would use it for the anointing. It's not just any kind of thing will do, any kind of move will do, any kind of spirit will do. It is the Holy Spirit, and it's not just based on your gifts or your charisma. It is the work of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And can I tell you, it's that anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. It is that anointing that sees people healed and delivered, people set free, the healing power of the Lord. It is that anointing that brings the fire. And see, a lot of us, we want the anointing, but we don't want the press. So what I love about the oil is it symbolizes this oil. Something had to be pressed in order to get this oil. Some of you may be going through a pressing right now. Can I tell you, the greater the press, I believe this, the greater the press, the greater the anointing. And if you can just keep pressing on and keep pushing on, don't quit, don't give up in this season. Keep pressing on. God is going to bring something out of you so pure and so powerful and so amazing. I want the anointing, but I better be sure I understand that there's a press that comes with it. And see, we take this oil. And I want to ask King David to go ahead and come on out for me real quick. Old shepherd boy David to come on out. And as shepherd boy David comes out and stands in the middle of the kiddie pool, if we're going to be a horn of oil, is this the type of horn we're going to be? Oh, that's good enough. We live our life that way. I went to church Sunday morning. That's good. I got this. I walk in power. I'm going to walk in authority. I got this. And many people, that's what happens, because they're not willing to dig things out. They're not willing to make more room. They're not willing to soak and say, Lord, I just want more of you. And they don't get their lives ready for the anointing. They don't get their lives ready for the oil and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, because if we want to work in the Holy Spirit, we've got to allow the working of the Holy Spirit in us first. So we need a little bit more. And we cry out to Him. We pray. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Book of Jude says, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, I've experienced it in my life. Every time I start praying in the Holy Ghost, it's like a river of oil. Every time I get in the Word, it's like a river of oil. Every time I get in God's presence and I worship, it's like a river of oil. And this is what I want for my life. I want my life to be completely and totally filled. And I know sometimes you're like, okay, Pastor, that's enough. That's good. Okay, that's good. All right, no, I want it to overflow. I need more. Don't get satisfied. Come on, don't just get satisfied. Say, oh, no, that's enough. That's good. That's enough time in prayer. That's enough time in worship. That's enough time in church. You need more. You need more oil. You need more of His presence in your life.
You need more of his power in your life. Somebody here's got to get a passion for that oil. And so what begins to happen is this. Now Samuel's got a horn full of oil. He's done all the cleansing. He's done all the digging. He's got this horn ready. He goes and he travels to Bethlehem. He goes out and he tells Jesse, Jesse, bring some sons. And Jesse brings out all his sons. And he's like, your son ain't here. The one I'm supposed to pray for and put this oil on ain't here. There's one more left. So they go and get David. Bring that shepherd boy. Bring that person that's seemingly insignificant, that nobody cares about, that someone leaves in the field. Bring him out here. And then all of a sudden, Samuel does something. Samuel could have easily just come and give David one of those. Okay. Be anointed. You know, we settle with that kind of stuff, right? I want a splash of the Holy Ghost. Just give me a splash. I just want a feeling of the Holy Spirit. If I just have just a little touch, just give a goosebump. And we live off of goosebumps. We live off of touches of the Holy Spirit. These small little experiences that we have, and then we talk about it like it was something significant that happened 20 years ago. But the daily outpouring. And Samuel could also just been like this and go, okay, touch. You're anointed now. He could have done that. You're anointed now. And that's it. But he understood the power of the anointing. A little dab wouldn't do David. David couldn't be the king that God called him to be with just a little spray of oil or just a little dab of oil. You're not going to be the person God called you to be with just a little spray or just a little dab. You need an outpouring. Can I tell you, you can restrict, you can reject the anointing, or you can receive it and you can embrace it and you can say, Lord, I want more. See, David didn't need a touch. He needed a saturation. And the reason why Samuel came and he got that horn ready, he dug deep so that horn could hold as much oil as possible. And he came to David and he said, David, I'm not just gonna give you a little dab. I'm not just gonna give a little sprinkle. And as a matter of fact, I'm not just gonna. Now that's good. What did David experience? What did Samuel begin to do? Is he got that oil and he just began to pour it out. Now hold on, no, you don't understand. No, stop. He was intentional with it. You know what he began to do? Is he made sure that his eyes got covered, that his ears got covered, that his hands got covered, his feet got covered, his beard got covered, that every part of his life. Why? Because he needed to see, he needed to speak, he needed to hear, he needed to think, he needed to work and operate the anointing. And there's an anointing that flows. Can I tell you, the church in America, I'm a little scared right now. Because what people are experiencing in the church of America is a little bit of that. And a little bit of this. Oh, there's a little bit in there. There you go. That's what we're experiencing. But what God wants to pour out, because the problem is this, you haven't recognized, you haven't acknowledged, you haven't got a revelation of who you are. You are a horn of oil. I'm going to say it again. You are a horn of oil, and what you pour out isn't just something insignificant. When you lead someone to Jesus, when you're walking through Walmart or Sportsman's or whatever it might be, and you begin to pour out, there's an anointing that transforms. There's an anointing that heals. There's an anointing that delivers. You are the horn of oil. Why did David experience what he experienced? Why did Samuel take a horn of oil? It's because Samuel was saying to David, everything that happened to get this horn ready to carry the oil is everything that's about to happen to you. Everything that God wants to do, he's going to clean you out. He's going to make you strong. He's going to make you a mighty warrior. And he's going to put his presence in you and his anointing in you so you can pour out his power. Friends, what we need now is we need the oil of God more than we've ever had before. We need the anointing. But what we need to be is we all need to be horns of oil. You are a horn of oil. You are a horn of oil. I want you to lift your hands all over this place. God wants to pour out his spirit, but he has chosen, just like Samuel understood, he chose to pour out his spirit through vessels. And he wants to pour in his spirit so he can pour out his spirit. He wants to pour in his spirit so he can pour out his spirit. David, you're going to be pierced. You're going to be crushed but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. Persecuted but not abandoned. David, you're going to go through stuff, but I've got an oil. I've got an anointing. I've got a power that is going to deliver you. I'm going to give you strength and I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to do something in you. You are all Davids in this place. Hear me. Hear the word of the Lord over your life tonight. This is a prophetic word for you, that God wants to pour out his spirit in such a dramatic way over your life. But will you make room for him? I don't want just an experience. I want an indwelling. I don't want just another experience. I want a saturation. I want the anointing of the Lord to go over my head and change the way I think, to change the way I hear, to change what I see and even what I say. I want him to anoint my hands for battle. I want him to anoint my feet. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. That's more than he just directs your steps. That word, when you begin to do a deep dive to understand what Scripture is telling us, it doesn't just mean that God directs your steps. It also means that he authorizes your steps. That means that when you step, his authority is there. His power is there. His anointing is there. So what I want more than anything is I don't want just somebody to get a little cross on my head. A little dab will do you. A 1 hour and a half service is all I need this week. I need the drenching and the saturation of the Holy Spirit in my house, in my living room, on my deck, in my car. I want to be saturated because my anointing, my promise, my call is desperately in need of the anointing of the Lord. As you lift your hands all over this place, Lord, we cry out to you, let your anointing, let your anointing be released.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.